DayJet, and Embry-Riddle. Join the FAA for a test of NextGen in Florida. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Ed Iacobucci, who is the president and CEO of DayJet Corporation. We're here to talk about a press release that came out on Tuesday in which DayJet announced a memorandum of agreement with the Federal Aviation Administration to start on a five-year phased implementation of next-gen technologies throughout Florida as a test that's done in collaboration with the Florida Department of Transportation's Aviation Office and Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. Secretary of Transportation Mary Peters had previously announced that Florida would be a testbed for this technology, and we knew that Embry-Riddle was joined up with the FAA to pursue it. But Ed, congratulations on being the corporate partner behind this thing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Paul.
I think it speaks well for what DayJet has established in terms of a reputation as a leader in the industry. Tell us a little bit first before we get into DayJet's part of this. I'm struggling a little bit with understanding how we're doing this test now and it's rolling out over 5 years when the FAA had previously said it wanted to roll out next gen or ADS-B at least by 2020. It seems like there's somewhat of a disparity there.
Well, of course, I'm sure you understand that next gen is a lot more than just the ADS-B infrastructure. It is a whole series of policies, procedures, systems that are integrated that provide a much better level of functionality in terms of managing the airspace that we have available to us, and the all the discussions that have happened thus far with respect to next gen really are contemplating a national cutover where all the various participants, in this case the air carriers and GA operators, have had an opportunity to upgrade the systems on board their aircraft. As you know, next gen, one of the elements of next gen is a much heavier reliance on GPS,
right,
as a navigation mechanism rather than ground-based radar. And one of the things that we have as an advantage that I've always felt was very important is that because we've got a brand new fleet, basically, of aircraft with basically the latest form of equipage, we've got or will have by the end of this year our entire fleet capable of operating in a next gen type environment. If you couple that with the fact that we've been working pretty diligently for the last 4 years with the FAA in terms of defining different ways of planning and submitting plans and modifying plans and plan and adjusting our operations electronically and digitally, I think it was a good match for this concept.
Well, now there's a way that this is an interesting match in another way, and that is the fact that DayJet is using primarily secondary or tertiary airports. Your dayports are not located in the big airline hubs. This, to me, is very exciting because it says to me that the FAA is looking ahead to maybe spreading out the hub and spoke system that we've been so dependent on up to this point.
Well, I don't know what there's an awful lot of traffic that goes through the hubs and spokes that's never going to go into the smaller markets, but I can tell you that there is an awful lot of traffic that originates and terminates in smaller markets that in many cases unnecessarily goes through the hub and spokes. So we've always been of the belief that there's a very interesting opportunity for a scalable on-demand network of transportation, which catered exclusively or almost exclusively to the what I'll call the long tail markets or the fringe markets, which otherwise wouldn't get any type of service. So it makes a lot of business sense for us to be where the air carriers are not. And it also, by the way, is a perfect vehicle for demonstrating the advanced navigational capabilities of a system like Next Gen, because essentially you are providing some real tangible enhancements in service and service reliability in areas that otherwise wouldn't have it because they don't have ILS typically in a lot of these small locations that we go to and from. So it's custom made basically for direct routings, and things like RMP are going to be extremely important, ADS-B, the fuel savings, environmental impact, lessening the environmental impact. There are all tremendous advantages of this type of intelligent technology.
Let's talk about some of the components of NextGen, because I mentioned ADS-B. I think that for those of us who fly small general aviation aircraft, that's the one that's mostly on our radar screen, because obviously at some point some very expensive boxes will be bought. But there are some other components of that, and you mentioned RNP, which is required navigation performance. I've always wondered, is GPS considered reliable enough now to be counted on to space aircraft more closely than terrestrial radar? In other words, are we going to find a day when we have planes spaced three times as close as they are now, and then all of a sudden they don't have that technology to depend on? Is that an issue?
Well, it's certainly an issue that's had a lot of discussion in D.C. and in Washington, and it's an issue that there really has been there's been a lot of smart people that have focused on that. I believe that the decision to move ahead with ADS-B and GPS-based navigation was arrived at with a lot of very careful analysis. Let me point something out. I mean, the notion of GPS isn't necessarily just for spacing, because if you think of spacing, you're thinking in terms in the context of our existing air traffic system.
Right.
When you think of opening up the capabilities of the airspace, what you're really talking about is, I like to envision it as a sky full of small pipes and bigger pipes, depending on the capabilities of the airplane. Mm-hmm. So once you can match the navigational capabilities of the aircraft to the route planning that you're doing, and then you can virtually guarantee that you have an unimpeded route from one end to the other, the issue of separation really doesn't exist anymore in the context of aircraft going down these specific assigned routings. In other words, the route begins at the origin airport at the threshold, and it ends at the destination airport at the threshold. And the only people that are ever going to be in that airspace in that period of time are people that are launching from your origin. So the pacing of the traffic becomes much more manageable. Of course, that all relies on the fact that we can adequately monitor the performance of the aircraft, and that you can deal with exceptions instantly, which is a big part of this thing. The exception processing is really what makes it all work properly. And frankly, that's the same types of issues that we've been dealing with at Dayjet since day one. We don't plan every individual flight. We deal with the exceptions that can't be properly planned by the system. And essentially, that's the same concept that NextGen employs.
Ed, we need to take a break. We'll be back with more in a moment. My guest is Ed Iacobucci, the president and CEO of Dayjet Corporation. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option, from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed, come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 9927, or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Ed Iacobucci, who is the president and CEO of Dayjet Corporation. Dayjet signed a memorandum of agreement with the Federal Aviation Administration to join the FAA and Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in testing next-gen technology in the state of Florida. And I'm talking with Ed today about the unique opportunity that represents. Ed, what role will Embry-Riddle play in this process? Are they primarily going to be involved in training, or just what will their role in this partnership be?
Well, as I understand the agreement that we've got, they're going to be participating in defining the route structures with us. We've got a pretty good sense of the origins, destinations, and places that we want to develop initially, starting in South Florida and moving on up. And by the way, it isn't necessarily just Florida. We could extend into, you know, southern Georgia, Alabama, and the Carolinas before too long. But as the ADS-B network is developed, one of the things that we're going to need is creation and management of a new set of R&P routings. And Embry-Riddle is going to be involved in that, as well as the project management for collecting data, and that we're going to be providing performance data with respect to those new routings.
How much infrastructure will the FAA need to put up in order to make this Florida test work? What I recall from my years living in Florida was radio signals, if you get up 300 feet, can go for a long, long way.
Yeah, I don't remember what the exact number of ADS-B ground stations is. I think it's on the order of 7 or 8. It's not as much infrastructure as you would otherwise think. It's basically a telecommunications interconnected set of ground stations. The protocols for the transmission and reception of the data both ways have been under development by the FAA and its contracting teams. We're basically putting that in place. And then what's really exciting is the next stage after we have the basic navigational data and position data, and that is some of the SWIM applications, which is basically merging of weather and real-time traffic data and sending that up to the proper, to the ADS-B-equipped aircraft. So we're going to have the best of both worlds. We'll see in our aircraft the same thing that an air traffic controller sees from ground radar, plus all the data that you get from direct interaction between ADS-B-equipped aircraft.
Now, next-gen obviously is going to depend on ADS-B to be available, I guess, in order for the rest of it to work. The FAA had its notice of proposed rulemaking with that 2020 date for the deadline for requiring ADS-B out. I know that this has been somewhat controversial. I've heard from a number of people who were commenters in that process who were not amused at that timetable and felt we should be moving much more rapidly. Do you think that the various components of next-gen will fall into place sooner rather than later, or are we really looking at that far out?
No, I can tell you that we've been very heavily supportive of what an initiative we call NextGen Now, which is the staged deployment of NextGen, not in the major airports initially, but actually for en route management between smaller airports. And that's been the whole essence of what we've been pushing for. And we're very glad to see that the FAA has decided that that's a reasonable way to approach this thing. I think that we'll have all the elements of the entire system pretty much in place and functioning and with some experience under our belt before the 5 years of our agreement's up. We fully expect to have ADS-B through Florida by the end of next year.
That's interesting. And that suggests that deadline then is just for the stragglers. In other words, the people who don't rely on the benefits of it but just have to be seen by those who do.
Well, you know, the national air system is not any different than any large company with all its IT equipment, right? There are some applications and systems that you migrate very quickly, but you're spending a lot of time managing what you might call legacy. And I don't think that the legacy systems are going to go away anytime soon, because for the full impact of next-gen to be accessible, you have to upgrade the entire fleet in the U.S., and that's going to take time. there's going to be overlap periods where we'll have, the ground-based radar is not going to go away. But slowly but surely, as more and more capable aircraft are flying in the airways, you'll be able to deal with those with more efficiency, with better utilization of space, less pollution, greener, more fuel savings, and so forth.
You know, I'm going to be very interested in watching how this rolls out. And Ed, we are going to want to call on you probably a number of times over the next few years to keep us up to date on how this is going. It would be wasteful to get you on the other end of the line here and not ask you about the current environment in the airline industry and how it might affect DayJet. I know that one of the predictions as the airlines struggle to reach the surface for error to get above fuel prices here is that some smaller markets, which currently have limited airline service, are going to lose it. Some intermediate markets that have good airline service now are going to lose most of it or find that it caters strictly to business travelers. Do you see any possible opportunity in this new environment for DayJet?
Certainly, the environment that we're in now is an unfortunate environment, and there are consequences to higher fuel prices, and you've just pointed out some of them, and scheduled services are operate less efficiently in places where you have lesser or more unpredictable demand. So we're seeing some of those retractions of the service in the areas that we're in today. Gainesville lost about one third of all its direct flights. Naples last week lost all of its direct flights. And people are turning to on demand as a solution, and we're pretty enthusiastic about that capability. I don't want to say that we're cheering for these reductions, because I have always believed and always will believe that the proper mix for air transportation is a mix of a certain amount, certainly a lot of scheduled services, and the on-demand services fill in the gaps where it's not economically viable to scheduled, and I think that both systems operate together in unison is what gives us our best transportation network. So I'm sorry to see some of the cutbacks that are happening because of most notably the higher fuel prices. But on the other hand, the people that live in these communities need to travel, so they're turning to us, and we're happy to oblige.
Well, Ed, I really appreciate you taking some time. I know this has been a busy week for you so far, and we look forward to talking to you again as this rolls out. This is an exciting project, and I think it speaks again to your background and what DayJet set out to be in terms of being a software development project that happens to include airplanes, unquote.
The only thing I'd like to leave you with is I've always been saying this, and people didn't understand before, but I think it's becoming clearer. I've always said that DayJet is part of the solution, not part of the problem. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's been a lot of discussion about the problems, but I think you'll see over time how the solutions play out, and we're very excited to have the opportunity.
Ed, thanks very much for joining us, and we'll look forward to talking to you again.
It's a pleasure. Take care.
Ed Iacobucci is the president and CEO of DayJet Corporation. You can find out more about DayJet at www.dayjet.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero.news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.